All right, we're all here, right? So I guess I can. Somehow I was expecting somebody else to show up, but whatever. Okay. So this is July 27th, Red Rock Citizen Advisory Council, and we'll call the meeting to order, and let's start the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so.
Can you see, can you see over there?
Here's our.
I hear you, Caroline.
I presume even with Laura not here, you've done the roll call.
I don't need a roll call. Okay. I can see who's here.
Okay.
Take it.
And public comment period for about items on this agenda. Does anyone have any public comments? No? Okay. So, approval of the agenda for, was it done this one? Approval of minutes for last month.
I got one quick question.
Okay.
Are Barbara and Dallas both okay, health-wise? I know Barbara's out of town a lot.
I need to check in with Dallas. I know he had a death in the family.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if he's still dealing with that, and Barbara's out of town.
Yeah, she's she's usually out of town.
I'll check in with
Dallas. I always hope it's not a health type thing, so that's why I asked. I make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second that motion, and I presume it's unanimous. So,
what about minutes?
You meant the minutes, right?
You meant the minutes.
The minutes, sure. Sure, we'll do the minutes first, and I'll approve the agenda too.
I'm good.
We're all good. We approve them all. Let's move this puppy forward.
Hey, let's move this thing along.
We just combined two of the items.
We just combined two of the items.
Oh my god. Okay.
All right. All right. Well done. Well played. Yes.
So, I guess, Jordan, it's your turn for a report from the Las Vegas Valley Water District.
Great. I'm Jordan Bunker with the Water District. Quick update, you guys. The wells were read on July 25th. The data that was gathered indicates that the North Well has a static water level of 21.93 feet below land surface. The South Well's water level is 21.7 feet below land surface, so that's a decline of about 3 inches thereabouts since last month, and just under about 4.5 feet from July of last year. And again, just indicative of the dry weather that we're having with lack of rain. We have had a little bit of rain lately, so generally you start kind of seeing that in the water levels about 3 months after it rains. So. Uh-huh. We'll hope that it landed in the right spot and that it makes its way down to our aquifer here. As far as the system goes, it's currently in stable operating condition, no major leaks or breaks over the past month. We held an open house last week at the rec hall with Water District staff as well as Bird Underground, who is the contractor that's going to be doing the service line replacements. I provided each of you with the community update sheet that was sent to every resident and business in Blue Diamond a few weeks ago, notifying them of the upcoming work. That work is probably going to start around the third week of August. They're going to start on, I guess, what would be the easternmost side of town there on Private Drive.
Okay.
They'll be there for about 2 weeks doing work. Then they're going to move on to Cerrito, moving westward. They'll be there for about 3 weeks. Of course, these are all subject to change. Then they'll move on to Allegro, which will be take about 2 weeks. Then they'll move on to Village Boulevard here, which will be about 3 weeks. And then they'll wrap up with work on Mariah, Cottonwood, and Castalia. And that should take about 5 weeks. Again, this is a very customer-friendly contractor who really wants to do right by the community. They're going to be doing everything they can to notify the residents when their streets are going to be impacted and to really mitigate any impacts the construction might have on the community. They'll have a supervisor here on the ground throughout the entire project. We'll also have our inspector out here regularly for the water district. They're both very approachable guys. They're identifiable. They'll be in bright clothing, so community members can feel free to go up and talk to them with any questions or concerns they might have. That said, it is construction. It's inconvenient. It's dirty. We just appreciate the community's patience while we do this, and when we're done, Blue Diamond's going to have a really nice and improved water distribution system, which has been a long time coming, so it's going to be great. And I'll be happy to leave a handful of these community updates. I can leave them on the desk up there if people want to grab them when they come into the library or whatever, but they have been mailed out to everybody as well.
How does that work when someone has a water meter? When you have a water meter up near your house, how do they do that? What's the process?
Not being a construction guy or an engineer, but based on some of the questions that were answered at the community meeting, I think they just either pick up the meter, they'll probably just pick up the meter and relocate it.
They will? Why?
And then, so the meter goes towards the street, but the service line stays
and
the same? That,
yeah, and they would, they don't, this contractor, and we don't have any interest of going through people's yards and digging them up unless for yeah. whatever reason they're, you have to.
So the meters here are at the street, though?
The meters
no,
here
most
are
of them
all
are in all the yard.
Yeah, ideally they will be closer to the street.
Right, but and of course this, what do people have? Do they have 1-inch lines here, or do they have smaller, like 3/4?
They're generally 5/8, or either 5/8 or 3/4 inch lines.
Yeah. I was curious that you're replacing four inch lines with 6 or 8 inch lines. So one of them is going to be the 8 inch is going to be some kind of a backbone, basically, and then the sixes will come off of there.
That's my understanding. Those are going to be the distribution lines that are going down the streets.
I'm a little surprised that you guys are going up in size, only because it seems like the trend is, you know, down. You know, I know in LA, I have all these people I know that they're being told if they want bigger than half inch service, it's like may not be available. And it used to be that 1 inch was pretty standard in LA, for instance. So to me, it seems like whatever's in the ground, if you're going to put a big line in, it's going to encourage people to want bigger supplies to their houses. But.
Well, that's certainly not the intent. And I mean, their service lines aren't really going to change, but we are sizing the distribution system appropriately to provide adequate and required fire flow.
So if one person flushes the toilet, you can still fight a fire.
Yes, perfectly said. Exactly.
Yeah. And also with the water moratorium, you can't upgrade the size of your line.
With the moratorium, you can't upgrade.
That's the one they should do at the lake.
Yeah.
Or in town. Shut all the meters off.
Yeah, so somebody, I was listening to somebody on the radio that was talking about that the real issue isn't Las Vegas's use of the water, it's everybody downstream, including Mexico. Everybody else has way more water rights than Las Vegas does.
They've overextended the lake, they've overextended the river, and one day it'll be dry.
Yeah.
And then all the water guys will disappear, like Pentland Run.
Yeah. It's hard to argue with that. Yeah. I don't believe I was in charge of that, though. So.
I do have a question about that.
Okay.
So we're building a new reservoir over here, off of 160.
Can you say your name for the...
Glenn Barrett, Glenn. 21 Cerrito.
Thank you.
So I see they started building the new reservoir over here, right off the highway.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
What do you mean, what's up with it?
When you're building a reservoir. Last time they built a new reservoir was on Hualapi. And ever since then, Hualapi and all that neighborhood blew up into what it is now.
Yeah,
more homes, more water, more usage. So are we planning to build between the mine and Mission Hills?
No.
Or
no, the Cougar Reservoir is meant to meet existing demand in a far lower pressure zone down gradient.
Go downhill.
Down mountain's edge, below Hualapi.
Although
you don't have any plans of sneaking in here and swiping water from here.
Sneaking into... No. That wouldn't help anybody.
Okay.
Now, and then the reservoir has been covered quite a bit in the last few months, too. So,
The reservoir has, I just haven't been here.
That reservoir has nothing at all to do with the Blue Diamond waters.
The last time I was here, I snarled at...
that's right, and the gas company.
And no,
gas company.
Nobody between Wallapai and where the reservoir is can hook into that water. It's just going to be a line up and a line down, gravity fed. That was one of the questions I had asked.
I just looked it up. It's going to serve customers between Hualapai Way and Fort Apache,
right,
and between Mountains Edge Parkway and Wigwam. So existing customers. Has nothing to do at all with the Blue Diamond Water System.
Beautiful. That makes me feel a lot better.
Good.
Good.
I noticed our gas lines didn't get started, though, did they?
No. But that's on Megan's report.
Right. Do we have any other comments on the water situation?
I got a comment on the dots in Six Arrow Road. They have posted that we are going to do the Blue Diamond Triathlon on September 5th.
I think that goes in a different part of the meeting, is that right? Yeah. So can you...
Well, I'm just concerned, like I said, they said they're going to start on private drive.
But let me just say that was postponed. It's not going to happen on September 5th, so...
Oh, it is?
Yeah, no.
Okay, because I was going to call and ask because the kids ride the bikes around. Okay.
No.
Thank you, Pauline.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't see anybody from Metro here, mm-hmm. So I guess we're moving on. To Josh, it's your turn for BLM.
Yeah, he was so
current and upcoming projects, etc. Et
Sergeant.
Go ahead.
No, Glenn and I were just saying, Sergeant Pickler, he was on 159 just before the entrance, and then Glenn said he's
still sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, there must be something going on because they plan to be here. I saw them last night.
He's probably got nothing anyway. Yeah, so sure. Hopefully he has nothing.
It's a sting operation for Bob Matthews.
he was here.
Okay.
Please.
Yeah. Josh Trotter is assistant field manager at Red Rock Canyon. A few updates, and it's on just our existing projects that you've been hearing about. I'll start with the Legacy Trail. Phase one, which is Summerlin to the entrance to the scenic drive, we're still finalizing our responses to public comment on the environmental assessment that went out for that project. We're responding to every comment, and we'll be finalizing the EA, the environmental assessment, here shortly. And then we're going to start talking. We're almost to a 70% design for the Legacy Trail, which means the trail location is pretty much established and it's set. Moving us from 70% to 100% will be about signage. We'll be looking at some high points, some resting areas, things like that, where we're making modifications to the trail where in some of the comments that we received, it asked that we consider more resting areas, things like that.
And you're just thinking about phase one, right?
Just phase one.
Yeah. And so when do you think that they'll start the work on it?
The plan right now, and we've been on schedule for quite some time now. That's a really good thing because for a while there we were losing ground quickly. We almost lost a year, and that was during COVID and during a very difficult time. But we've been on schedule and have been maintaining that schedule for a while. We anticipate construction to start summer 2023 for phase one.
Okay. Where will the ground be broken for that?
Where the ground will be broken.
No, where will it?
It'll begin. That's going to be determined once we start planning for that. But but I think it's going to start. The most substantial part of the construction is going to happen right there in Summerlin, where at the bridge.
I see.
And there's going to be
where you're going to put in my traffic circle.
No comment.
Did they ever decide where the parking was going to be for that? Did they ever decide where the trailhead parking was going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be on where the basin is at.
Yeah.
There's a high point there that's very flat. There's some rocks there. It's not going to be a substantial parking lot, but enough. I think we're looking at a 50 vehicle parking lot at this time. That's I mean, the county is working on a design.
Is it on the, like if you're driving out of town, is it on the left or the right?
Oh, the right side.
Right. Oh, good. So they don't have to cross. Well, the retention basin is kind of straddles the road.
So if you're going into Summerlin, if you leave here and then you're driving around and then you're going into Summerlin,
it's on the right
side.
Oh, so they do have to cross the road.
So you got during cooler seasons, you got a bunch of folks that camp. And then you kind of have the basin area, and then there's this flat area, and on that flat area is where the parking lots can be designed.
It'll be from this direction. It'll be before the bridge.
It's straight across from Sky Vista. So if you're sitting at Sky Vista. Yeah, and you go straight, you would drive into the parking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so for the people who are getting, then they just have to kind of cross Charleston to get onto the trail system.
Yeah. So. So in the design, and I can bring some of these drawings so it's more clear to you guys at the next meeting. But but it's an underpass. We're designing a whole protected underpass that there's no crossing.
Using the existing underpass under the bridge?
That's awesome.
Cool.
That'll work.
Yeah. So it's, again, this trail is all about safety and trying to get, we won't get 100% of the recreation traffic off the highway because that's part of the use on the highway is an experience that people want, that they're road bicyclists and they want that experience. But our hope is as we continue to see increase in recreation and we see more runners, more inexperienced recreation bicyclists on the highway, we're hoping that we can remove all of that traffic and give them the safe corridor to continue to do that. Awesome. And we believe that this trail, the asset is going to bring all new access to Red Rock Canyon. And I think it's going to be used in a really big way. And we hope that it's used in a really big way. I think it's a big attraction. Anyway, the next phase is on this side, going from leaving South Las Vegas and coming towards 160 and then tying into 159. We have a very basic design done. We just completed geotech. I don't know if you saw the drill out there, but we did do drilling and we're waiting for the results from that. But it seemed, from what I heard from Federal Highways, that everything seemed positive based off the preliminary data that we received. But we've got some planning to do with the county on just what that entrance is going to look like, the very beginning on that side of the trail. But we have a kickoff meeting to start the NEPA process next week for that project.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so that one's going a lot faster than how phase one did. It'll take some time to develop the environmental assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And we've learned a lot from phase one, and we heard what a lot of the concerns would be, and we're going to be bringing that into this next phase, so that's going on. And then we've got the interagency agreement for phase three, which plans all of the middle section of the trail and constructs from the scenic drive all the way to, I think it's Bonnie Springs Road is where that section ends. And so that'll get so that's going as soon as we get the interagency signed by Federal Highways, we're going to start planning and doing some early design work on what that's going to look like, and that leaves the connection from Bonnie Springs Road to Blue Diamond, and then Blue Diamond to wherever we're going to connect to that piece that's getting planned in phase three.
Mm-hmm.
We have been recommended as the number two project in the state to move forward to the secretary.
In the SNPLA?
For SNPLA.
Oh, nice.
So we the last time we held this position, nothing went wrong and we received the funding. And this would secure the final $35 million that will complete this project. Totaling $96 million for the entire trail. So super exciting, big deal, and a pretty substantial project. Well, the largest in Red Rock's history by far.
Yeah. And what's number one, out of curiosity?
Yeah. I didn't pay attention to that part of the presentation because I had to present right after another time. And I was preparing for that presentation.
No problem.
I can find that. It's something with the Forest Service, I believe. The second project is we've got the Cottonwood Valley Recreation Area Management Plan in play. We got through Harris Spring and then Calico Basin, and then third in line was Cottonwood Valley, and that's where we're putting our attention is to getting that project complete. We expect to present the ramp and the EA in the near future. I don't have a date yet, but it's not going to be in the next 30 days. Hopefully by the next meeting that we'll all have an idea of what that date's gonna look like, but it'll be in the next several months. However, with that project, I will be presenting, I'm going to ask Megan for a little bit of time on the calendar to give you a look at where there's access here in Blue Diamond that feeds into the Cottonwood Valley Trail system, and I want to ask for some formal feedback on the community's support or maybe lack of support for those access trails that directly lead the community here. And as we continue to work towards what that recreation area management plan, what that need, I want to present what that need is for the access points, but I also want to hear feedback from the community on maybe some impacts that that trail access has on the community of Blue Diamond. And then we have finalized the Calico Basin Recreation Area Management Plan. We're not implementing that Recreation Area Management Plan as there is an appeal, two appeals that exist, and we're working through that process. However, we are continuing to look at management planning outside of the ramp. Some of it's complementary to the ramp, but some of it's management decisions that we made outside of that. We've increased staff presence in Calico Basin greatly, where and these resources are spread out throughout the NCA, but earlier this year we had 4 park rangers, and now we have 13 park rangers, and they're all full. And every position, and then we're going to the table with the intent to ask for it hasn't been finalized yet, but we believe we're going to be trying to ask for support at the end of this year to add 5 to 7 more park rangers.
So are you saying there's 13 park rangers working in Calico Basin right now?
No, well, sometimes in
Red Rock
Basin, but we always have someone in or around the Calico Basin.
So the 13 number is throughout Red Rock Canyon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
where,
a lot.
Where historically we've had 2.
Right.
Or 3, depending on if there were vacancies or not.
I will tell you that's way more than the Forest Service has.
Oh, don't you know it?
Yeah.
So they're covering all the area down all the way to Bird Spring.
Yeah. Yeah. And all the way north to Lee Canyon.
That's a lot of area.
Big area?
Yeah.
That's a lot of area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 201,000 acres.
I mean both sides of Potosi.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that growth, and that the park rangers have already demonstrated to make a tremendous difference for our management of the NCA and our ability to manage the NCA. So we're looking at Calico Basin and monitoring, doing more, increasing our monitoring, looking at visitation that goes in there, and getting traffic counters and trail counters and all kinds of stuff in there to really help us understand what the visitation looks like. And so really excited for that. And then finally, we've got the Red Rock Canyon business plan. And for both Calico Basin ramp and the Calico Basin business plan, I do want to say there's a lot of misinformation out there and really inaccurate information that's floating around on social media. And I just want to ask that if you hear things and you're wondering if it's really true or not on what, you know, some of the stuff that we're doing at Red Rock, to please call me, or, and we've got other resources that you can call to ask questions about any of these projects, and we're more than happy to have conversations about them. But the business plan, we're asking for four things. There was a judgment made with our reservation system, where a decision stated that we needed to, if we were going to use a reservation system, that we need to treat the fee that comes with making a reservation at Red Rock as it were a recreation fee. And once that judgment was made, we went back and we're modifying our business plan, asking for support to increase our fees by to the dollar amount that's equal to making a reservation. And we're doing that because the public is going to pay for it no matter what. If we don't get the increase, the reservation system stays, and the fee is going to come out of the money that we get today in fee dollars, which is going to hurt us because it costs us, right now, it's approximately 15% more to manage the NCA than what we get in fee dollars. So we're always having to find ways to bring money into Red Rock. And so we're asking for support to increase our fee intake by the $2 or $3, or at the campground, it's $6 or $8, $8 or $9, I'm sorry. The difference is it's $2 if you go online and make a reservation, or if you call a 1-800 number and you use one of their customer service representatives, it's $3. That's the difference between the $2 and $3 fee. And then to make a campground reservation, it's $8 or $9. And the fee covers, to run a reservation system, there's a lot of logistics behind the background. It's not like making a reservation at a restaurant or making a reservation at a beauty salon. It's to run a reservation system, it requires a tremendous amount of coding. There's a whole customer service line in the background. There's a whole team of resources dedicated to managing a refund system so that people can get refunded if things happen, and things like that. And then every time someone swipes a credit card, there's a banking transaction for that. The BLM doesn't run a reservation system. If we ran that system ourselves, it would cost the visitor far more than what we're paying recreation.gov to do that. And that's where there's a lot of incorrect and misinformation out there, and just a misunderstanding on what we're asking to cover. But again, we're asking that we increase the fees to cover that, because it's the cost of doing business. And if we don't get that increase, then we're going to have to manage the reservation system with the fee dollars that we get today. And that's just going to hurt our ability to bring more resources and to maintain and manage our facilities. But anyway, so the business plan, four things. It's to match the reservation fee at the campground, to match the reservation fee at the scenic drive. And then once we go to implement a fee structure at Calico Basin, which likely will be 3 to 5 years from now, we're likely going to want to implement a reservation system. And we're asking that our fees increase by that $2 or $3 so that we can run the reservation system. And then the fourth thing that we're doing is we're cleaning up the language. So in the business plan, which was finalized in 2018, we want the language to be consistent with the language we used in the recreation area management plan for Calico Basin. And so we're asking to change that language so it all matches and it's in sequence. Mm-hmm. That was not fast at all, as I promised.
Wow, it was wonderful.
Yeah,
thank you.
So we're going back to the parking lot on the other side of the bridge. So right now the proposal is that people will be making a left turn on Charleston as they're heading outbound to get into that parking lot. Is that the?
There would be a four-way street light system.
Oh, I see.
There, uh-huh. Yeah. And so there would be turn signals, and that's not. That's so far outside the BLM. It's tied to the Legacy Trail for sure, but that intersection's being improved because
that intersection's dangerous.
Right.
No, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I pull right out in front of you as you're heading into the canyon.
I know. I have to drive by it every day.
I had to lock them up the other day.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Just looked right at me and kept on coming.
They do. The ones coming off of Sky Vista, you mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. They're like, we're an impediment to their. There,
you know. When I wanted a tank, because I ran him over.
And
when
school's going on there, there's like people flipping U-turns on Charleston. Like right. being there around 6:30.
Right, it would be. I think for people that want to go into that housing area, being able to go left coming from the desert and go that way would be. I'm sure a lot of people would like that. I don't know if it's going to be possible. That intersection has a lot of demands on it, that's for sure.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, is there anything interesting to know about the about how the trail will cross Calico Basin at the Jeans Trailhead?
Yeah, and it's going to cross where there's some. That's one of the areas that we're looking at. It's that crossing. It's the crossing at the entrance of the Scenic Drive and the crossing where the Soaring Club airstrip is at. Where those are the three crossings that's really going to bring it, that we're finalizing to bring us to 70% drawings. Mm-hmm. We're taking a very close look at those intersections because we want to ensure the most safety as possible.
I mean,
we can't, the project doesn't afford for a pedestrian bridge. We'd be talking millions of dollars to build bridges to cross.
Plus a little out of character for the area.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so it's going to be a very well-engineered crossing, but it's going to look like, if you've seen the green and white crosswalks, it's going to have that kind of marking. It's going to have built-in lights that when pedestrians come and cross at a crossing, they would hit a button on their approach. That button would cause in the crosswalk some flashers that face State Route 159 to flash to warn drivers that there's pedestrians on their way approaching, and it would be timed so it would last for a certain amount of time, and then it would shut off. And that's what all three of those.
Of course, you're saying pedestrians, but it will be mixed traffic, including bicycles, right?
Correct. Yeah. Pedestrians meaning non-motorized visitors. Yeah. Whether they're running.
Is there a proposed speed limit on for bicycles on the trail?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We don't have that determined, and that's going to be in coordination with the county because they're going to take operation control of the trail, but we're going to work very closely. Mm-hmm. The trail, we are promoting e-bike use on the trail, but we're only looking at a type 1 or type 2 e-bike, and both those types max out at 20 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. So I imagine it'll be a 20 mile an hour speed limit that we'll suggest for that. It'll be difficult to manage that. I mean, there's going to be cyclists who use that who are going to love to go as fast as they possibly can, and and I'm sure I'll get phone calls.
Most likely.
Thank you for all that information.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. That is. Anybody have any questions?
So I take it these lakes will be solar powered?
Yeah, it's solar powered, and then you know there would also be so that'd be for the vehicle traffic, but also the pedestrians approaching will have warning signs that they're crossing an intersection, and there would likely be like a bicycle sign with the flashers as well, in addition to the ground flashers. But we're finalizing that now.
Thank you. Anybody have anything else to ask to Josh here? Yeah. All right, well, I guess now we get a report from Clark County Administrative Services. All that right. would be you, Megan.
That would be me. So Southwest Gas is not going to start until after the water project is done because they don't know where the pipes are because there's not good as-builts. So once the water project is done, that will allow Southwest Gas to have a better opportunity to know where it's safe to dig. No. So I will get more dates when they have them available about when they're going to get started. The controlled technology pump project, there was a public meeting last week. That project is in the feds realm right now, so I don't have any new information on it. If they have something to share and want to come, I'll let them come talk to the group, but I don't have anything new on that. Illegal dumping near Coca. My public works guy was out today when I went to get an update, so I do not have an update on that, but I know he went out and checked it out to figure out what to do about it. Bob, you'd asked me about the public response call on that property on the corner, and it was anonymous.
That's what I figured it was. But thank you for doing
that. Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
And let's see. So I reached out to Water Rec, and Thomas Midwigan is the director of Water Rec, and he gave me the lowdown on how they clean the pipes and the water they use.
Yeah,
so
thank you.
There are 74 pipes in the Blue Diamond area that they maintain, and that's about 16,000 feet of pipe. The issues in this community are roots, flat slopes, shallow pipe, and small diameter of pipe. It's four inches and 6 inches. So those are the challenges they have. So they have to use the water to clean them out. They clean out about 11,000 feet of pipe each year. They are able to do 3,000 to 4,000 feet average per truck, and it's 0.71 gallons per foot. So that's about 7,810 gallons per year.
How much?
7,810.
7,810 gallons per year?
Per year.
That's nothing.
I know. They do not fill up here. They fill up on the outskirts of Las Vegas. Their Vactor truck holds about 1,200 gallons. So they bring a water truck that holds 3,000 gallons so they can fill up during the day. If they have to use a hydrant on those occasions, that's probably where maybe there was roots in the way and they had to do a little extra work and they need to just be able to finish the job that they're doing that day. So that's the time they would fill up. And Tom said specifically that they are aware of the sensitivity of using water here, and so it's their practice to fill up on the edge of the outskirts of Vegas before they come out here. Okay, that's all I have on that. Can't answer any questions because that's all. That's all there is. And lastly, so Bob had mentioned about the Rick Rexia's house had drilled a well, and then now they're drilling a well. They're building a house next door, which, small world, I know the people that are building the house next door. I used to work with my husband, so it's kind of funny. So Bob mentioned that, and I thought I would... he mentioned, like, what would be the difference between the well levels you know what? I love doing this stuff. I can can go down a rabbit hole. So I love research. So you'll see I pulled from State Water Engineers website, I pulled the well drillers report back to 1978. So I went by parcel number. Pulled the sections that are there, and I can show you. I have all of them here, so you can see them, so you can check my numbers. And this is my super fancy map. So it goes from Schaumburg, But I just went through and pulled each section and then wrote the year and the depth of the static water level. So all the ones with the black writing, those are all the ones that are shown on here. And as you see, there's no rhyme or reason to it. I looked, I assumed it would be like this.
Right.
And it's not. The deepest well was in 2017, but the lowest was in 2001. So it just goes up and down, up and down. So part of that could be that they are in different areas.
Yeah.
Could be part of it. But the 2018 is Rickrexius, and the 2021 is the house right next door to him. So there is a difference there. I think it was like 20 feet. Mm. But as you can see, some of these, there's three houses. These are west of the gas station, and they were all 313. Right across the street, there's one that's 245, and then a few parcels away is 420. So, and those are all within a few parcels of each other. So maybe underground, it's all up and down. I don't know. You know, I don't know what it looks like. But I just feel like, okay, so on Sir Wyman Street, which is behind or south of the gas station, two parcels next to each other, one in 1995 was 190 feet deep, and in 2016 it was 342. But then the one in 78 that is one parcel up was 335. So
yeah, just, yeah,
there's just, sure. they're just, I was looking for a trend and I did not find it. So mm-hmm. not that means we aren't having water problems, but, and I checked in again with the state water engineer. They have not had one person pull a permit to drill a well deeper or a new well, mm-hmm. other than these couple. So I don't know, you know, I keep hearing that all these wells are being deepened, not one permit. And I find it hard to believe that if there's 10 or 12, that not one person pulled a permit. I just find that hard to believe. So
another well driller.
Yeah, well,
well driller.
You can ask him about it, but
yeah, he obviously didn't pull permits.
Apparently not, which is really bad, because mm-hmm. that's part of how the state water engineer knows that things are happening, is when permits come in, and that's a trigger. So if you talk to him, tell him just pull the permits. I mean, because in the end, it'll probably help him when trends and stuff happen. So that's it, and that's all I have.
Thanks. That's pretty good.
Good job. Good
I know
job.
This is you're seeing my true nerdiness come out. I really
oh
got
this
into
is
it.
Phenomenal.
This is very interesting. Yeah. So wow. And yeah, and I have all the records here, and it's pretty interesting.
Okay. All of the records, are you willing to part with all of the records?
I'll let you look at them. These are my only copy. I don't have a copy of them, but you can look at them.
Can you scan?
They're all public information.
How do you get them?
Just go on the State Water Engineer's website, and you can pull up any parcel number, address. You can pull, what I did is I just, the parcel numbers are like 17513. So that's what I did. I pulled up everything in 17513 and 17515. 17514, and it gave me a whole list of every parcel, and so then I went and found them on the map, and so there you go.
The West Torino numbers.
Uh-huh.
There's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, mm-hmm. five of them. It's just interesting to see 570 being the deepest, and 260 being the shallowest. I guess the other one's
right.
490, 480. So 471, so three are in that same range, and then two kind of vary. So it's kind of interesting to see, you
so
know, maybe there was more
well,
rock.
Yeah, your community well is 500, was it 500?
Right, right.
The house just north of you
eight
was 426, and the house just south of you guys is 430.
Yeah, the woods, 80 there, 430.
Yeah, so... yeah, it's interesting, but they're all within like 100 feet of each other. So I guess that you know, if there's stuff built up underground, I don't know. So anyway, and if you want to look at this, you can see it afterwards. It's very
the well driller that I ran into the other day that was in the neighborhood. He said he can actually drill two wells right next to each other And he goes, one could be 100 and the other one could be 250. So you see these numbers and you go, well, the person at, what was it, the 260, they were lucky. You're paying by the foot versus the one that went down 570.
Yeah, the lowest I think was 180.
Ouch.
180
Yeah, that hurt. That hurt.
Or that definitely hurt.
The shallowest.
Yeah, but thank you for this.
You're welcome. You're,
it's very beautiful.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
I love data stuff.
Awesome. You love that.
All right, so
that's all I have.
Thank you, Megan. And now we have no planning and zoning or general business.
Nope.
So, comments by the general public about matters relevant to the council's jurisdiction? Or
yes, there was a community member who asked me about a tree that's hanging over the road at the end of like the curve of Cottonwood.
Okay, have them take a picture and text it to me or email it to me, and I'll have the guys come out.
Okay.
On the park side or the other side?
It would be on the park side.
Okay. It would probably be quicker if somebody with BDRA would go out and trim it themselves. But, you know, if it's a tree from the park, we usually would prefer that the homeowner takes care of it. But if it's causing a problem with sight lines or whatever, we'll come out and do it. But yeah, if it's from the park, I would say it probably should be the responsibility of the park.
But what if it's in the right of way?
That's tree itself?
Yeah. Well, you know, because the right of way is an extra 10 feet on both sides. I'm just saying.
Okay. Is it just overgrown or is it dead?
I can't tell you, but I will be able to send you a picture so that I can ascertain.
Okay. If you tell us it's dead and it's in the right of way, we'll come take it out. So okay. Be careful.
Right.
Be careful what you wish for.
Right.
So check it out first and then decide which one to send it to you.
Maybe you should tell them to use Fix It, which I happen to use. Megan mentioned it last time when I mentioned a few things, the illegal dumping, and she said you should use Fix It on the Clark County website. So I went on the website, which I'm used to, but I had to find out where Fix It was, and I found out where Fix It was. I got to it, and of course I had to call Megan to say, How do I work this? And so she gave me a couple little clues, and it was debris that from the rain that we got on Monday, and so it was going to go to Public Works, and they will get to me. But it's the way to go.
It's very cool.
It is the way to go. I mean, okay. I've been on the phone with various departments, and you leave a message for one, and they go, well, that's not me. It's somebody else. This is, get on the computer, boom, boom, boom.
You
got a camera, take a picture
of it. There's an app. You can do it on the website. There's an app.
It's wonderful.
And if you, like, see a pothole, you could take a picture of the pothole. It'll place the, like, the
pin.
Yeah, a pin or the coordinates or whatever. You can send that right in so they'll know exactly where it is, what it looks like.
So, like,
and if you create an account, they will respond to you and tell you where it is in the process.
So just go, like, download the app, which is Fix It Clark County, app?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds very exciting.
It's really cool. And, like, you can look, if you go to put in that complaint, you can see, you know, if there's three people that have already put in that complaint, you can be like, oh, yeah, this is a problem, you know.
Nice.
So that's pretty interesting.
I have to say, the one time I called those guys up, Public Works, and I had just seen a cement truck accidentally drop a bunch of cement out of that tube in the back in the left turn lane on Desert Foothills as you turn to come out this way. Mm-hmm. All right, and I called them up and I said, listen, if you guys send somebody out with a pickup truck and a shovel right now, that cement will be wet. And if you don't do it right now, it'll dry up and it'll be here for the next 50 years. And whoever it was I spoke to, I came by about an hour later and it was picked up.
I have to tell you, our Public Works guys get, you know, they get tons of abuse, and they really do a good job. And they're out there in the heat and dealing with stinky stuff and people yelling at them, and they really do a pretty phenomenal job.
That was awesome, actually.
Yeah. They're good guys.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else have any comments? Are we done? All right, I guess thank you very much. The next meeting will be on August 31st, and we are hereby adjourned.
Okay. Woo-hoo. Stop this.